God willing, we're going to read in from Luke chapter 2. We've already read these words, and I want to read them again. Luke, we're going to take, Lord willing, two selections from Luke and one from Matthew. Two from Luke, one from Matthew. Luke chapter 2, going to read verses 1 through 14. It'll sound familiar to you because you just read it, and because you've read it many times and heard it read, no doubt. It's often called the Christmas story. I want you to pay particular attention to the last verse, which will say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Particularly the word peace, the concept of peace. I want to preach to you about that this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now the next selection, brethren, same book of the Bible, same gospel. Would you turn to Luke chapter 12? Luke chapter 12. We're going to read verses 51 through 53. The child whom the angel just spoke about is now speaking. And listen to what he says, something very interesting. Luke 12, 51 through 53. This child is now all grown up. He's about 30, 31, 32, 33 years old. Listen to what he says. "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law. The daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Now, would you turn, please, to a parallel scripture in Matthew's gospel. Same speaker, our Lord and Savior, Matthew chapter 10. Turn there with me. The words of the newborn king, all grown up now. Listen to what he says. Matthew 10, 34. We're going to read 34 through 39. Matthew 10, 34. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Interesting words, huh? Interesting words. The wonderful words that we're most familiar with, or at least I am, and probably you, are glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray, brethren, one more time. Our Father in heaven, open your word to us. Oh, Lord, let me understand it. Let me say what it means, Lord. Let me understand what it means and expound upon it. Teach us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Please teach us this day. We thank you, Father, for this occasion that we can celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, Lord, let us understand that and what it means. And let us understand, Lord, his teaching and what it means. May we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We ask it in the name of that very one, the Prince of Peace, and for his sake. Amen. Did Jesus come to bring peace? That's the title of this lesson. That's part of the title. Here's the whole title. Did Jesus come to bring peace? And I answer it for you. Yes and no and yes. He says himself, I didn't come to bring it. But brethren, as I've said to you before, as the real estate people say to us, everything is three words. Location, location, location when you're talking about real estate. And when you're talking about the Word of God, brethren, everything is this. Context, context, context. We're going to look at context this morning in at least two different ways, three ways really, but the scriptures, the first is what the angel said about him. Peace on earth. He's the Prince of Peace, peace on earth. And then we're going to look at the context where he says, I didn't come to bring peace. So the question is, did he come to bring peace? And the answer is yes, most assuredly. Yes, his very name is the Prince of Peace. But also he says, brethren, in a certain context, I came to bring a sword. I came to bring division. And he most certainly did and does. And then thirdly, brethren, we're going to look at the third thing he says. I'm going to close with this one. I'll quote it for you now. I'll quote at it. He says, my peace, I leave with you, as he was about to leave this world. So yes, he came to bring peace, and no, he didn't. But in context, they're both correct, brethren. Stay with me. I think I understand something about it. I hope I do. I'm praying to God that I do. And if I do, brethren, you stay with me, and we'll rejoice in this. And we'll grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior this morning. And God, I pray, will be glorified and will be edified. Did he come to bring peace? Yes. Yes, he did. His very name is Prince of Peace. God, who cannot lie, sent angels who are messengers with this message. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God, who cannot lie, sent his messengers, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, announcing that, announcing his birth, and announcing peace, goodwill toward men. The Prince of Peace has come. He's arrived. He is with us. He's God with us. He's been made flesh, and now he dwells among us. He was made of a woman, born of a virgin. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We studied that. That's Isaiah what? 7:14. Memorize that. The Ancient of Days, the eternal God, he who was in the beginning, who never had a beginning, he became a man, brethren. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And that initial announcement, brethren, when it actually took place in time, or it was prophesied for hundreds of years, but when it actually came to be, the announcement was made, brethren, to lowly, sinful shepherds. Like lowly, sinful people, like you and me. The angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. City of David means, Bethlehem means house of bread. And the living bread, brethren, came to earth and was made manifest in the flesh. And he came and to save, and he did save. The angel said, he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. He saved us, brethren. He reconciled us to God. Outcasts we were. We're restored. He brought peace, brethren, between a holy God and sinful man. Holy, holy, holy God and sinful, very sinful man. Angels, they got it right, brethren, because he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, was upon him. So yes, brethren, he brought peace. And he finished it, brethren, when he said, it is finished. That's why, brethren, the shepherds, they celebrated. Verse 20, they said, the shepherds returned. They went to see the baby. The angel said, here's a sign for you. He'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's not so much of a sign, because I think all babies were wrapped in swaddling clothes in that day. But the rest of it is, he'll be lying in a manger. Now that, brethren, is a sign. There's a sign. And they found him, brethren. And they, verse 20, returned back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Why did they praise and glorify God, brethren? Because they saw God's salvation. They saw, brethren, their shepherd. They were shepherds of sheep. They saw, brethren, their shepherd and bishop of their souls, the one who came to save them, and they rejoiced. They had peace. Brethren, peace with God. The shepherds had it. Another one that's described in this same chapter is a man named Simeon. I know you know about him because you've been here Christmases past when I preached about Simeon, one of my favorite accounts in the scripture. Simeon, brethren, would later see the baby, and he would take him up in his arms. And he would experience great, great joy and peace, brethren. In fact, he was so peaceful, brethren, that he says in verse 29, Lord, and he's speaking to God the Father as he holds God the Son in his arms. And he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in what? Peace. According to thy word. You see, God had given his word to Simeon. He says, Simeon, you're not going to die. You're going to get to see the Prince of Peace before you die. And Simeon, not only, brethren, is seeing him, he's holding him up in his arms. And he said, now, Lord, I'm ready to depart. I'm ready to die because I have such peace in my soul. According, you promised me, Lord, for, verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Peace, brethren, came to Simeon. He had been looking for the consolation of Israel. He'd been looking for the Savior. He'd been looking and waiting and praying for him. And it pleased God, brethren, to have mercy on Simeon and to give him a special blessing. He said, well, Simeon, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you see him before you die. You're not going to have to die in bare faith. You're going to get to see him and hold him. Oh, what a story, brethren. Simeon, brethren, could rest on the finished work of Jesus, of the baby that he held in his arms. That's peace, brethren. When a man, woman, boy, girl, when they can die in peace, and they can die in peace, brethren, you can and I can, because Emmanuel, God with us, has come and he's been made to be our sin for us. and the chastisement of your peace is upon him, and you can rest in peace. You can rest in peace when you live. You can rest in peace because you know you go to be with God when you die. So yes, Jesus came and did and brings and leaves peace. Now let's go to the scripture, brethren, Luke chapter 12, verse 51 that we read, where Jesus says, "Oh, I didn't come to bring peace." Luke 12, verse 51. I'm looking at 11. That's the reason I'm pausing. I knew that didn't sound right. I'm looking at 11. Now 12. I'm at the right chapter. I was at the right verse, just the wrong chapter. "Suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay or no, but rather division." Now I want to go to Matthew 10. Parallel scripture. Matthew chapter 10. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Quite a contrast. The angels singing about peace. Jesus, when he's all grown up, "Think not," this is verse 34, chapter 10, Matthew, "think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Brethren, what does a sword do? A sharp sword, maybe a two-edged sword. In the hand, brethren, of a surgeon, a sword, a scalpel, is deftly, D-E-F-T-L-E-Y, deftly separates. A sword separates. Jesus said, "I've come to bring division." Division. He said so himself. He didn't come to bring peace. Do we have, as you look out at the world today, the world in which you live, Is there peace out there among the world and the people of the world? There's most assuredly not. And Jesus says, "I didn't come to bring that kind of peace." But we just looked at an eternal peace that he did come to bring, and he has brought. But now think for a minute, brethren, with me. Just think a minute about what Jesus said. "I came to send a sword." A sword divides, brethren. It separates. In the hand of a skilled surgeon, a scalpel is a wonderful thing. It separates bad tissue from good tissue. Jesus is speaking, brethren, in this context of time world issues. Up until now, I've been talking to you about eternal issues, the eternal salvation of your soul, yours and mine. And Jesus has secured that. The Prince of Peace has made peace with the Holy God for sinful men. Now, brethren, we talk about temporal things or time world things, things in this world. Jesus says, "I didn't come to bring that kind of peace on earth, but I did come to bring something." You and I, brethren, were separated eternally from God, and Christ came and reconciled to us. But now, in this context of the time world, brethren, I want to tell you, those who have been reconciled to God, you are called a new creature in Christ, or a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. There's a separation. There's a division that takes place. You now love things that are from above. You are now to set your affection on things above. There's a separation of things above and things below. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I walk here on this earth. I walk here on this planet we call earth. And I move around in time. T-I-M-E. I move around in time. But I'm to set my affections on eternal things. As you walk, brethren, in this world, sometimes those you love, Jesus says, a man's foes will be those of his own household. We're to separate ourselves. We're told, Simon Peter, I believe it was on the day of Pentecost, said, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation or this untoward generation." Save yourself. Separate yourself from it. Live above it. Live apart from it. Don't blend in with them. You're different You're a new creation in Christ. And as you do, brethren, you'll separate yourselves. You're separated from the things of this world, the people of this world, the people you work with sometimes that are ungodly and want to discuss everything that's ungodly and nothing that's godly. And it gets closer home than that, brethren. It gets into your home sometimes. It can be the parent and child relationship or the brother-sister. Sadly, but Jesus says that's true. And as I read earlier, he says, you got to love me even more than your family. You got to love me more than your working buddies or your playing buddies. You got if they play unholy, you separate yourself from them. If they talk unholy, you separate yourself from them. And it even comes down, brethren, to our very loved ones. It comes down to you and Christ Jesus, brethren, because you're a new creation. Don't love the things of the world. You're separated from them. When you do that, brethren, the world will sometimes become hostile to you. Even your own family, it'll become hostile to you. But Jesus says that He knows it. He said ahead of time, in the world, you shall have tribulation. When you begin to separate yourself from the world, brethren, when you come out from among them and you separate yourself, you upset, brethren, the world, you upset Satan and those who serve self and Satan. You'll be accused, brethren, of causing division. You see, brethren, division, think about division. It's not all bad. In fact, brethren, it's very good. Jesus says, I'm coming to bring it, to bring division. Often we're encouraged, well, let's don't be divisive now on this issue. Let's don't be divisive. Well, I'll tell you what, brethren, I'm telling you to be divisive if the issue is a God issue, if it's a holy issue or not. If it's one of right or wrong, it doesn't matter how many or who or how powerful they are or unpowerful or obscure or how many. If it's a God issue, brethren, and they're wrong, you go ahead and separate from them. You be divisive about it. Christ says, I will bring division. It's inevitable, brethren. It's inevitable if you're going to live a godly life. No man, Jesus said, can serve two masters. And what he's teaching us there, brethren, is this. You got to serve God or you got to serve yourself, one or the other. Every decision you and I make is going to boil down to that, day by day. Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve myself and serve man? You cannot serve God and man. It gets down to your household sometime. And the great man Joshua said this. He said, I don't know who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, what did he say? We will serve the Lord. We're going to separate ourselves out so that we'll serve the Lord. Peace. People say, well, let's have peace. The absence of war, brethren, is not necessarily peace. The absence of conflict is not necessarily peace. In the world, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have tribulation when you serve God, because the world won't have it and won't have you serve Him. I heard this a few days ago. It's a good one. I can't say it like the man said it, but he was talking about peace on earth. He was talking about it. And he said, he got to talking about appeasement. You know, the Word of God, brethren, tells us over and over, don't you surrender to Satan. Don't you wave the white flag. Don't you give up to Satan. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Keep fighting. It's a battle, brethren. Here's a definition of appeasement. To make concessions to someone, often at the sacrifice of principles. You ever have to sacrifice or ask to sacrifice your principles? Just give in. Oh, everybody's doing it. Oh, just get along. Oh, just come on. Let's have peace. Let's don't be divisive, brethren. Jesus, the one that saved your soul, who's supposed to be your Lord and Master and mine, he says, hey, it's all about division. When it comes to godly and ungodly things, a division, brethren, is good. And I don't mean just somebody that's constantly making trouble and fussing and causing turmoil. I'm not talking about that. Like the They don't like the color of the carpet. We've had the same carpet here, and I'm not at all suggesting we change it. We got the white color. I mean, leave it alone as far as I'm concerned. If you want to change it, change it. But if we decided to talk about that, there may be somebody that just can't somehow agree. That's not a godly right-wrong thing. That's a matter of judgment and preference for what you like. But I'm talking about holy things here, brother. I'm talking about don't give in when it's a God thing, when it's a right or wrong thing. Christ did not appease anybody. He did not. There was no concession made by Him. No appeasement. Only obedience. Only holding to the right thing. The doing what was right. The finishing of the work. He set His face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, we're told. That's when He was going up to die, brethren. When Satan said, "Oh, if you're the Son of God, change these rocks into bread, you can do it." Jesus said, oh no, there's more to this life than bread. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was His answer, brethren. He was in all points as we are, tempted as we are, yet without sin. He never the first time said, "Well, okay, one time." He never said that, brethren. He never did it. Don't appease somebody when they're wrong. Don't sacrifice your principles. Don't compromise with sin. Division. How many times have you heard lately, and how many times have you said, and I've said it, our country is so divided. It's so divided. And it is. It is. But brethren, God willing, I'm not going to compromise principles. I'm not going to compromise the principles of the Word of God to get along. I'm not going to do it. I just have to go down fighting if I go down. But I will. But you know what, brethren? Jesus will be with me. God will be with me. Because He says, "I came to bring division. I came to bring the sword." And the sword divides, brethren. The gospel is often referred to as the quick and a two-edged sword, the Word of God. Jesus is, and so is the gospel. And the gospel divides. You talk about it. Talk about it at work. Even as Jesus said, talk about it in your home. It's going to cause division sometime. Well, let her rip, brethren. Let it go. If you're talking, if you're on the side of God, if you're on the side of righteousness, let it be so. Now here I go into something that if you don't like it, tell me later. Don't tell me right now, but tell me later if you don't like it. But I gotta say it. I gotta say this. We're approaching an election, a runoff election in this state, the state of Georgia. The results of this election for the Senate candidates will determine which party controls the Senate. The House is controlled by the Democratic Party. We're apparently going to have a Democratic president, and we may or may not have a Democratic Senate. Now, early voting has started. There's a division between the parties. So some issues in the platforms are purely, in my opinion, political. Some are purely godly issues, moral issues. And I'm going to talk to you about that one. Some are right, some are wrong. Some things that one party wants, I can live with or without. I don't think it's a moral issue. Something, or one thing at least, brethren, is most assuredly a God issue. It's a right or wrong issue. It's a moral right or wrong issue. Weeks ago, from this pulpit, I think it was at night. It might have been in the daytime. I don't know. Morning service. I don't know. But I read to you from the platform of each of the parties. Our country now is kind of boiled down to two major parties, and you vote the candidate from the party. And it seems to me to make sense, and others say that, well, read the platform, see what they stand for, see what the party stands for, because the person arguably represents the party. And I read to you something that's put out by each party, their platform. I read to you what they put out. I didn't make it up. You didn't have to fact check me on it. You can if you want, but I read it from their source, the original source, the party. We now revisit that. We've got a choice between a Republican and a Democrat. I want to read you something that I saw a candidate say, and I want to read it to you. I believe in truth. I believe in just get it out there. Here it is. Here it is. And the issue, brethren, the issue is life. The issue is unborn children. And here's what one of the candidates said on that issue. The candidate said, "I have a profound reverence for life." Now, if I stop there, if you haven't heard that yet, if you've never heard that, and I stop there, I may say to you, which candidate you think said that? The Senate candidate. Which one you think said it? And you would give me an answer, but now there's more to the story. Here's the rest of the sentence. And an abiding respect for choice. You got me? In the law, we used to have this word, these phrases or words, and it's called a term of art. It meant something, not necessarily what the dictionary said it means. And in this context, and you have to learn those terms of art because people throw them around and you won't know what they mean, what they're talking about. Well, candidates throw them around. And this candidate threw this choice word out. Choice. I believe in choice. I have an abiding respect for choice. Now, think with me. I want to ask you this. The candidate says, "I have a profound reverence for life." So far, so good. I believe in the sanctity of life. I have a profound duty to protect life and God, because it comes from God. Life is sacred. It comes from God. Human life is. And I count it sacred. But then the candidate goes on to say, and an abiding respect for choice. Now, the word choice in this context, brethren, means that a mother carrying a child has a choice on whether or not to carry that child to birth. A choice. That's what the candidate says. So what does that mean? Just listen. Think about it. I have a profound reverence for life. So far, so good. That sounds great. Yeah. Good for you. But I also have an abiding respect for choice. The other shoe drops and he says, but although how I highly respect life, I'm going to leave it up to the mother. I'm going to give her my permission to kill the baby if she wants to. Now, listen, I know it's the Sunday before Christmas and I don't want to rain on your parade, brethren, but times are now. And here I am. And again, I say, if you don't like it, just tell me later and I'll talk with you and we'll have a great talk. I won't be mad at you. But brethren, listen to this. Listen to this in Ezekiel. I have a duty. I have a duty to you. You call me to be your pastor, and that's the way it goes. And I'm glad I'm here. I don't want to leave. I want to be here with you. But God moved you to call a pastor, and any other pastor has a duty to you. Here's the preacher's duty to you. Here's part of it right here. If when he, that's the pastor, seeth the sword come upon the land, sword, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, that's the people, his blood shall be upon his own head. It's on you. If I preach to you, brethren, and God's moving me to preach and telling me what to say, he's carrying me along by the Holy Spirit and directing me, and I'm saying what the Spirit of God tells me to say, and you don't listen to it, and it goes for me too, then the sword comes, brethren, it's on you. He heard the sound of the trumpet, that means the preaching of the gospel, the word of God, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning, the ones that listen to it and act accordingly, shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman, that's what the preacher is called here in Ezekiel, the Old Testament. This is Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword coming, if he sees it coming, and blow not the trumpet, if I don't warn you, and the people not be warned, If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. It gets him still. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. You see that? You see? I have a duty to you. I have a duty. What you do with it is on you. But I've got to say it. So here I am. Here I'm saying it. What this candidate is saying is, I respect your choice to kill the unborn child. I respect that. You have my permission. And I will support you in that. Well, he can't give permission, brethren. Nobody can give permission for that. God, because God says it's not to happen. Do not do it. In the New Testament, a man asked Jesus some questions about life and eternal life. And Jesus, you know what he said? He said, well, you know the commandments. You know them. Thou shalt not kill. And he names some others there. So see, Jesus ratifies that, what the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 say. I think it's chapter 20. Jesus says, yeah, that's right. They haven't changed. A lot of times passed since that law came down on Mount Sinai, but they haven't changed. Jesus himself said it. No, and that candidate, brethren, claims to be a minister of the God. He claims to be a watchman. I don't know what his stand is on other stuff. I don't know. I've never heard him preach. But he got this one wrong, brethren. It's wrong. Wrong. Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul says something very similar to what he kind of amens what Ezekiel says. Let me read it to you. Paul is about to leave some folks. He's been with them a long time. He's headed to Jerusalem. They're all telling him he's going to be arrested at Jerusalem. And he says, well, don't worry about it. God told me to go. I'm going. It's okay. And he says this in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. Wherefore, I take you to record this day. He says, I stand on my record that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. There's a verse in the Old Testament, I think. No, it's in the New Testament too. It might be old, but it is, I know it's in the New. It says that in the latter days, in the last days, that churches will hire out. They'll get ministers to they have itching ears. To scratch their ears, to make their ears feel good. That we want a preacher to tell us, give us a pep talk and tell us what we want to hear. That it's okay, I respect your choice to do this, to live ungodly. Oh, I respect it. God will forgive you. Well, if you're a child of God, he most assuredly will. But he'll also take you to the woodshed. And no good can come of it. Okay. Peace. The Prince of Peace, he came and he saved you and me and he made peace with God. Did I come to bring peace? No, I came to bring a sword. Now, the answer is, did he come to bring peace? Yes. No, he came to bring a sword. But yes, the third thing, the last thing, and I close with this. Yes, he most assuredly did. And I'm going to read it to you from John 14:27. Words of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 14, verse 27. Peace. These are the words of the Prince of Peace, who said earlier, I didn't come to bring peace. Now listen to what he says. In the context, he's about to go to the cross, brethren. He says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Oh, yeah. The world will give you peace for a little while, brethren. Yeah, you can go right on down to this minister's church and you can listen to him and he'll give you peace for a little while. But you think God will give you peace if you do what he says in this, what I've been telling you about today? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 15:18. The same Prince of Peace says this. He's talking about the world hating you. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And then he goes on to say, remember, the servant's not above his master. They hated me, they're going to hate you too. But it's okay, because I'll give you the peace. I'll give you peace from me. When you're standing for what's right, I'll be there with you. I'll give you peace. The peace that passes all understanding. When you go to work this week and the guys are telling ugly jokes and you walk away and they laugh, don't worry. Jesus will be with you. Don't worry about that. When people that you love want to do wrong things and they get mad at you because you encourage them not to, don't be dismayed. Jesus says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. My peace, I leave with you. Just do the right thing, brethren, because the Prince of Peace, He saved your soul. He loved you so much, He went to the cross for you. And if He'll go to the cross for you, brethren, He'll walk with you day by day. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." There's the peace. I know that's not a typical Christmas Sunday lesson right there. But brethren, that baby that was born in Bethlehem, he grew up and became a man, and he said these very words. I've read them to you, and I can't leave them out when the Spirit of God is telling me that I need to read them to you and study them with you and discuss them with you. Oh, brethren, what a glorious thing. Those angels filled the heavens and said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." And we do have peace, brethren, with God the Father, a holy God. Sinful man now has peace with God because He made it for us. And now I want to tell you, brethren, that He'll fill your heart with peace if you serve Him above everybody and everything else. You can't serve two masters. Just serve Him and you'll have peace. And He'll bless you spiritually. I found that to be true. And also, brethren, I found if I just trust Jesus and serve Him, He blessed me. He blesses me in ways I can't even imagine tell you about. Natural ways. I'm not going to preach a prosperity gospel to you. I'm not going to tell you you're going to get rich and fill up the bank with gold if you just serve Jesus. I'm not telling you that. You may, but not necessarily. But I'll tell you this. Your heart will be overflowing in the blessings of Christ. Your cup will fill up and run over. Mine has and does. And I thank Emmanuel for that. God with us. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the truth of the gospel. Thank you for the coming of the just one that makes us justified before you, that makes us holy before you, that took our sins upon himself and nailed them to the cross. Oh, Father, thank you for that. I thank you, Father, that as we leave here and we go out into this time world, that we have the promise of that great one, your unspeakable gift, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That he did come, and the sword comes, and there's division. But we want to be on the right side of it, Lord. We want to be in the right way. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. May we follow the Holy Spirit's leading and the written Word of God so that we can have that peace that passes all understanding no matter what comes. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn now. If you love Jesus, it's because he first loved you. If you want to serve him here with the people at this place, come forward and make your request known. And you'll be received into the gospel fellowship as the gospel authorizes.